You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, all you Golden State Warriors fans out there. You got to tune in to the Oakland Warriors podcast, the official Dubs podcast of Fans First Sports Network. It's awesome. It's hosted by Patrick Epino and a rotating crew of guests who follow this franchise for decades, just like Doug and I have with the Giants. The show dives deep into all things Warriors, both on the court and off. Will the Dubs be legit contenders this year? Is Steve Kerr actually going to play Jonathan Kuminga enough to have a breakout year? Will the Chris Paul trade be a blessing or a curse? I'm very interested to know that myself. And most importantly, can Steph win another title, or maybe two? The show takes an all-encompassing look at the greatest team in the NBA. No hot takes, no agendas, no bluster, and no goofy knee-jerk reactions. Just smart, insightful Warriors talk about the past, present, and future from one of the best in the business. Tune in and subscribe to the People's Podcast, the Oakland Warriors Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube at youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Let's go!
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to Giants Croncast, a podcast chronicling the San Francisco Giants, featuring Brian Murphy and Doug Brazoni, part of FFSN, Fans First Sports Network.
I always like to follow up my 7-game win streaks with 6-game losing streaks, and then call up my top prospect. There's no metaphor there. It's something I like to do in my life. I have a farm system, and I like to call up the prospects from it when things are going badly.
Well, I mean, first off, way to humble brag about having 7-game winning streaks.
It was a good week.
Not all of us.
And then it was
those.
A bad week. Yeah.
Right.
it's been really hot the last week. The week before wasn't as hot.
Yeah. But yeah, Marco Luciano is here. He went 0-for-2 in his debut on Wednesday before getting for a Gabe Kapler pinch hit with Jock Peterson, because he may be the best Giants hitting prospect since Buster Posey, but he is still on the San Francisco Giants, and the platoon on the San Francisco Giants is more important than that.
Also, so, and I believe in total fairness, I believe he was operating on 2 hours of sleep. And maybe the adrenaline crash was hitting him at that point in the game. I don't know about you.
It's possible. You've ever...
Yes, it's true. He's only 21. Just remember, he turns 22 the day before 9/11. Just always remember, the day before 9/11, it's Marco Luciano's birthday.
Never forget Marco Luciano's birthday.
But yes, the Giants had a 6-game losing streak that was snapped finally against the A's. It looked a little shaky that that was going to happen in the first game of the series. It didn't look like they were going to do that, break the losing streak. And the second game had a little bit of that tension, and then it wound up being kind of a blowout. But effectively, they have beat up on a bad team to get back to their winning ways. But we're going to have our interesting and concerning segment a little bit later, because there are still things, despite winning two games this week, that are very concerning while also being interesting about the Giants. But I do want to talk about Marco Luciano a little bit more. You said best hitting prospect since Buster Posey. I'm going to say in the last 41, 42, 43 years of Giants baseball, he's probably on the short list of best hitting prospects overall. Maybe he's easily in the top 10, I'd have to say. But
yeah,
the excitement, the hype, the all that that's surrounding him, there's kind of no comparison. You're only comparing him basically to players who succeeded and are known Giants quantities, right? It's very rare that they've had, like, this guy's going to be a big hitter and then was sort of a total bust. They've had guys they've liked who haven't panned out, but this is not a John Boker situation. This is more like, hey, they have another Will Clark or something, and hopefully it turns out.
Yeah, 100%. When you talk about the best Giants prospects, for some reason we're not including Eddie Martinez Estev on that list.
No, we're not.
So we're talking about the guys who made it.
And you so, were, right, but now, I made you change it.
Well, I like to talk about him, okay? He and Marcus Sanders are the future of the Giants. Haters don't know.
And obviously they've had really nice players, Brandon Belt, Joe Panic for a time. You know, Brandon Crawford has sort of surprised us all with his ability to hit. There's been kind of like those things, but like Belt was sort of, I guess Belt was maybe the second, but I would say that the hype around Belt doesn't nearly come with what Luciano has. You know, Luciano has the potential to be Manny Machado or Xander Bogaerts or something like that in that realm. You know, A-Rod probably not, but you know, it's in that realm, that strata of prospect that we're talking about here. I have not been that excited by a flyout to the right field wall ever, but I've never felt more alive. That kid swung at the first pitch and almost hit a home run to right field as a right-handed hitter. Oh my God. He looked so confident, so comfortable. It was a nice contrast to when JD Davis homered to right field, because JD Davis was like, oh, I hit that hard. It's going out. What happened? But it was fun. Did you catch that live, or were you listening on radio or anything? Or did you see it?
I did. I caught it live. I was looking down for a second, and then Kipe went into his, this could be something call. And I look up, and, you know, obviously got caught at the wall. I'm like, ooh, that was a nice ride. That was, mm-hmm. that was impressive.
It's not often that happens. I hope I savor that for a long time. Very exciting. Who knows what the future is going to bring. I also need to really point out that I was wrong about Marco Luciano. Well, I was more this. I said, you know what? Let's just forget about him. Let's just assume that the injuries are going to continue, that he's just going to be a non-factor as a prospect. I like getting shoved in a locker. It might be a weird kink that I have. I don't know. But I like this negging and then sort of being proven wrong about these prospects, because he has come back from his injury and he's put together a hell of a season. He's really fought. He really wants to play. He really wants to be a part of this. Is there anything from like his development that's sort of, you know, not just the fact that he's here as a 21-year-old and the Giants have two 21-year-olds in the lineup for the first time in, I don't know, Sarah Slangs, who's awesome. She mentioned the stat the last time, like two 21-year-olds were in the same lineup. It's been 40, 50 years. But anyway, is there anything from Luciano besides saying, Brian, you idiot, that you want to talk about?
It's worth noting, and it's not to say that nobody should be excited about him, but the Giants, I don't think the Giants called him up because he finished doing the development he could have done in the minors. The Giants called him up because they were desperate.
Yeah.
their middle infield situation has been so bad for this entire month. Basically since Tyler Estrada got hurt, it's been an absolute black hole of offense at the middle infield. And, you know, Marco Luciano had, I think, 6 games, maybe 7 games in AAA before they called him up. And so you don't do that with your top prospect, you know, your top hitting prospect, unless you see the need. And so not to say that Luciano's not going to have a good major league career, but I do think the one way we need to temper our expectations is at some point he will probably get sent back down to the minors. I think we do have to expect that and kind of not be disappointed when that day happens. Just like enjoy what you have from him while he's up here. Enjoy seeing him hit the ball super hard to right field in a way that guys don't do. But kind of understand how it's likely to go.
Well, I want to talk about that because that was a tweet of yours that I saw. And I, so here's how I found out about the news, because I guess Alex Pavlovich had tweeted about it when he did his postgame write-up on Tuesday night. And he said that this was coming. And I noticed that a lot of Giants media had already gone to bed. So, but I had to get up to pee in the middle of the night. It was like 3:45 or 3:30 in the morning. And I saw this, and then I quickly checked McCovey Chronicles, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait, we're not writing about this? We should probably write about this, right? So I stayed up. I published it at 4:30 in the morning. What I'm getting at is that's how I found out about it. And I have to be completely honest with you. If it was being deliriously tired or not being, you know, and not being fully awake, so that cynicism crept in, that thought did not even cross my mind until I literally saw your tweet, that was even a remote possibility that there was something cynical going on or whatever. And yeah, I think that there's definitely something to that, but maybe in a less, it's a panic move. Because their offense is so bad. And maybe it has a little bit more to do with, I don't know, Doug, have you seen what's going on with the trade market in baseball? It's very tough to get quality players without giving up a ransom. You know, that trade that just happened between the Dodgers and the Guardians is kind of being viewed as, holy shit, that's what you have to give up to get either of those guys? Like, you have to give up a useful player to get a kind of a not useful player. And so I wrote about this earlier in the week, like maybe it's like Paul DeJong is the guy that they might be looking at to play shortstop. He kind of fits their hitting profile a tiny bit. I mean, he's got the power, he's got the defense. It kind of think of it more in the Kevin Pillar mold, but maybe slightly better in terms of the hitting line. And maybe the Cardinals are like, well, we want Marco Luciano for that. And we want Kyle, you know, they want something big for that. And I think that also factors into it too. It's not, I think I'm on an island here, Doug. I don't know if you agree with me, but I'm the one that was trumpeting. No, we both were. The Logan Webb extension was maybe kind of like, oh, April started pretty poorly. Let's hand out a 5-year extension to the ace of the team. I still think we're on an island with that. But with the Luciano thing, I think if it is, there is some truth to that, that it is born of cynicism or like, ah, crap, we got to do something. It does have the hallmarks of still some thoughtfulness being, wow, it's really going to be hard to acquire the kind of player we need right now. We have a player in the minors we hope can be this guy. And look at the 6-game sample and look at this AA sample. It kind of, you can kind of see it, the shape of it working at the major league level. Maybe we can accelerate or continue his development there. Maybe this makes sense as a short-term fix until some guys get healthy. You know what I mean? Like, I can imagine the process for that. It's not quite as cynical as the web thing. But if you want to go off on why it totally is, I'm fine with that.
First off, I was not 100% on board with the web thing being cynical. Okay.
All right.
That was just much me. More you than me.
I'm on the island. Yes.
Yeah, you're on the island. I have my own island of Marco Luciano cynicism, okay? So nobody wants to be on that island with me.
I was on it. We sunk.
You were, but then you left. You got on the boat and went back to your own island. So I think that the thing about Luciano is that he hasn't been good enough for long enough this year or in the minors just in general to justify calling him up to the majors absent some other kind of motive. Because, like, look, he was fine in AA. I don't want to make it seem like he did a bad job in AA. But he wasn't that good. You know, he hit 228, 339, 450, which is a AA WRC plus, weighted runs created plus, of 114. Totally fine. Like, a good season, especially for a 21-year-old in the Eastern League. You know, you have all these caveats and ands you can throw out there, but he was not destroying the league. He gets to AAA, he has six games there, and then he gets called up. And I look at that, I just can't see that. Even with the talent that is absolutely there, 100%, it's hard to see that with no ulterior motives, with no other thing going on. And the other thing going on is, well, this might work.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to say. I think it could be a part of, like, wow, our offense is so bad, people think we're not even a real team anymore. But also just like, well, what else can we do that's not going to hurt us in some other way? You're right. But also I'm like, they're on the list of reasons why this is a cynical move. One of those being, like, there's a tinge of desperation. What else are they supposed to do? Like, or I should say the desperation is like, yeah. The desperation is like, we'd have to pay a pretty hefty cost just to get a league average guy in there right now. And is it worth it?
Yeah. I mean, it just could be like, look, we can either pay a ton to get a fairly minor upgrade, or we can, you know, take a 10% shot that this guy we already have, who we're going to promote eventually, is already ready. And they're, so, you know, why not take the shot? That, I mean,
he's already on the 40-man roster. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, there, the pain of the call up is very minor. You know, he replaced David Villar. I'm like, that's great.
that's like two additions.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, David.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
I hope he comes back and he does well. Yeah. I mean, but yes, absolutely. He was struggling mightily, you know? Yeah. But it is funny because they're talking points of like, oh, the defense and all that stuff in those six games, they look pretty good. That the, you know, the Giants media was kind of putting out there, you know, two home runs, two doubles. So four of his seven hits were extra base hits in six games. That's pretty good. And if he is hitting the ground running off to a hot start, maybe it'll carry over to the major leagues. I can see it. I do want to bring up this point because I don't really have a sense of him. You know, Roger's been on there. I've been on here, and I'm sure he's like had more interaction with him or people who have interacted with him. And I just really like this quote from 2021. This was in spring training, and he said, "I'm not going to quote it fully, but I wrote about this in the call up piece." And that's basically, he's like, "If I keep doing what I'm doing right now, I think I'm going to be ready in a year." So in 2021, he's like, "I'm going to be ready for a call up in 2022." And we saw what happened with 2022. He got injured because you can expect injury, but you can't predict injuries. So he's off by a year, but only because of injury, Doug. And you know what? I f-ing admire that. Yeah, that's what I want. I want my top prospect being like, yeah, I just got to work hard and it's going to happen. Yes, that's what I want. Not like I'm entitled to it or it's just a matter of time. It's like, if I just keep doing what I'm doing, it's going to work out. And I predict it's going to work out in a year. I like that.
I think that's a great point. Like, for example, if I were somehow in professional baseball, and even if I were very talented, my thought would be, well, let's see, I'm going to f this up. So, yeah, I want players who aren't like me.
Don't be David Villar. No, we don't know that. That was one of the things VR talked about, though, in his last demotion. He was like, they want me to work on some things. Like, one of them sounded like the mental part of the game. So, like, it's very easy. I can't imagine fewer things in life being easier to get down on yourself about than baseball. I mean, I get down on myself when I have bad swings at Scandia in the batting cages. You know what I mean? Like, so I can't imagine where you're like, I can hit a 95 mile an hour fastball. And then you go into a game like, I can't hit a 95 mile an hour fastball. It's really hard. It's probably very easy to get frustrated. And keep the faith, David Villar. The strength that, you know, we see it. make it happen. Luciano, keep going, man. I want to see what happens. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Doug, what's something you found interesting about the Giants this week?
You know what I enjoyed is that in Wednesday's game, Ryan Walker was the opener and he pitched 2 2/3 innings.
He looked fantastic.
He was incredible. No, like I have, you know, it's one of the things we've talked about that he has often not looked good as an opener. He looked so good as an opener. They had him get pitch into the third.
That's like, right.
And he deserved it. Like it was not a hard call. It was not a bad call. It was like, yeah, absolutely. Let him keep rolling as long as he can keep rolling. It was great to see.
That's a really good one. His stuff has probably not looked quite that crisp in maybe a couple weeks. But I also want to point out, like, he was facing the A's, but I don't like hold that against him. I'm like, if he's as good as we think he can be, he should be doing that against a team like the A's. So the fact that he actually met an expectation seems worth mentioning. I think that's pretty fantastic. That's a really good one. I really like that. What I found interesting was it looks like Lamont Wade's back.
Yeah.
I think you pointed out that injury where he had to come out of the game the other day, maybe that's a sign of something lingering. But in at least against the A's, he looked pretty like a firm base. He looked pretty solid. I liked what I saw. And so that'll be an interesting development because, my goodness, they're going to need him to carry the team. He's going to really need that. Anything else?
Yeah, I thought I was happy to see Luke Jackson come back. He's he was good. He was good. You know, when he was with the team, he got injured. There's always, to me, a little bit of that lingering doubt when someone who's coming back from Tommy John, when he gets injured, if he comes back, is he going to be the same? Is he going to look good? And he, you know, he made two appearances, pitched two innings. He looked great. Pitched, you know, in two innings, struck out three guys, didn't walk anybody. Did exactly what you want to see him do. And it's encouraging, you know, just another weapon in the bullpen. It will really help the Giants because they, you know, with some of the struggles from their starters, you need everything you can get from the bullpen.
Yeah, that's a good one too. And if he's going to actually continue the John Brebbia 2.0 thing, then, you know, John Brebbia in his first year with the Giants, you know, coming back from TJ, he was a little shaky. You could see it, but it was still like he had his moments where it wasn't looking so hot. I'm going to say that one other thing I found interesting was Patrick Bailey doesn't seem like he's getting down on himself, even though he's looking pretty overmatched right now. And I don't know. What I find interesting is he's had a pretty rough month of July for sure. But to do a micro sample size in his last 16 plate appearances, Doug, he's got 4 hits and a walk and just 4 strikeouts. It's just a measly 646 OPS. That's like really nothing. But, you know, before those 4 games, he had just 6 hits in 51 plate appearances and a 343 OPS. So there's a micro split that I'm picking on only because one of these guys has to slump and come out of it. I don't know why I'm saying that. That's not true. It doesn't have to happen. But I mean, right now, I think I saw some Giants fans saying like, well, maybe he's not Buster Posey. And it's like, you know what? I'm willing to give it a little more time to see how this shakes out.
If you not close the door on the Buster Posey comparison just yet.
If you aim, what is it? If you aim for the moon and you miss, you still land among the stars. So maybe that's what's going on. Maybe that's what will happen with Patrick Bailey. But, you know, I think he had a hit against the lefty last night, right? So, or the other night, right? So that seems to be the part of his game that's actually really struggling now is hitting right-handed, which means the league figured out that he was faking it all this time. But I'm still somewhat interested by this potential development.
Okay. Brian, what's something you found concerning about the Giants this week?
Only everything. And by that, I mean their entire offense. Doug, since July 1st, the worst offense in the entire sport of Major League Baseball is the San Francisco Giants with a 73 weighted runs created plus. By far the worst. If you want their team wins above replacement, it is 0.1, technically tied with the Rockies for last place, But if you're technically tied with the Rockies, you might as well not even get out of bed. So they are the worst offense in baseball. Their 8 runs against the A's, I guess, notwithstanding. I was a little nervous when I was putting these notes together. I'm like, oh, is that outburst going to change things? No, that's how bad they've been.
No.
They went from a 71 to a 73. That's as much as it raised him. So I'm deeply concerned. Yeah. Go ahead.
You should be. Just looking at the last week of stats on FanGraphs, the Giants have exactly 2 players with positive offensive value. That's Jock Peterson and Wilmer Flores. Everyone else, Luis Matos has basically been fine, but still like slightly below average. Everyone else has been bad. Like, and everyone other than Matos has basically been terrible. If you just descending weighted runs created plus, you start out with the good. So that's Peterson and Flores. They're at 261 and 205. Matos is at 94. And then J.D. Davis is in fourth place at 74. Lamont Wade Jr., 46. Patrick Bailey, 22. These numbers are getting way too low, way too fast. We haven't even gotten to the bad half of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mike Yastrzemski at 12. Austin Slater at 2. Brett Wisely, negative 11. Casey Schmidt, negative 17. Blake Sable, negative 28. David Villar, negative 60. Michael Conforto, negative 66. Remember, league average is 100.
Yes. By the way, Austin Slater is 2, you said?
2.
That means that his home run the other night, the home run brought him up from negative.
Yes.
It brought him up from more than 98% worse than the league average.
Yeah. That is right. Yeah. That's just clearly not a major league offense.
No,
there's no way around that.
Let me put it in terms for people who are listening, gritting it out when we're doing like weighted runs created plus. They have a 344 team slugging percentage. That is last in baseball. They have a 204 batting average. That is last in baseball. They have a 284 on base percentage. That is not last in baseball. It's merely next to last in baseball and last in the National League. They have scored exactly 66 runs, which is the second lowest in baseball. The Rays have scored just 66. But it's the lowest number in the National League. The Rockies have scored more runs than the Giants. The Pirates have scored more runs. The Marlins have scored more runs than the Giants this month. The A's have scored more runs. It's embarrassing. It's awful. It's just awful. I don't like it. I'm very concerned.
And just one more stat. Over the last week, Jock Peterson and Wilmer Flores are the only Giants with an on-base percentage of at least 305. Yeah.
That's about 25 points below where you're like, okay, you really kind of want your on base and percentages before you're like not even thinking about it to be like 340, 350. And with like Jock Peterson, his is like closer to 400 most of the time, like usually. And it's like, wow, okay. I do want to point out he has, since we negged him, started to pick it up a tiny bit. A little bit.
That's true. I mean, we're trying to neg the entire team. I don't know if we can do it. I don't know if we're powerful enough.
Yeah, I think we got to like separate them from the herd and, you know, reverse brainwash them.
Yeah.
Doug, was there anything you found concerning about the Giants this past week? Beyond that, that's pretty concerning. If you want to sign on to that, that's fine and we can move on.
I mean, I do co-sign the entire offense. I guess I will also throw out there Anthony DeSclafani. Not good.
You triggered my Bill Simmons impression. Are we sure he's a major league player? Are we sure?
Yeah. Oof. It's hard to look at him because, you know, he was pretty good through the first month and a half of the season, started to get some arm fatigue. The team shut him down for a while. And you hope when he comes back, at least for a few starts, he'll be stronger. He'll look better. He'll be more effective. He'll be like he was back in April. And it has not happened. And it is continuing to not happen. And, you know, we're rapidly reaching a point where the team should probably just shut him down. It's not doing anyone any favors for him to go out there and pitch every fifth day. His arm is just not doing it right now. Maybe they could move him to the bullpen, see if that'll help for the rest of the year. I don't know what the answer is. I know that the answer is not have Anthony DeSclafani start games.
Yeah, you just made me think, you know, what's at this point, what value is Jacob Junis providing? And maybe DeSclafani in the bullpen effectively taking his spot, which is would be a massive demotion. He'd be at the back of the bullpen. That still might be worthwhile. I'm not sure. I mean, they're not going to be able to move him. It was interesting that Alex Wood, his name came up as like a trade rumor, but he has like an expiring deal. And you could see why a team might, you know, just needing some depth in their pitching might want to take on Alex Wood, especially if maybe the Giants are thinking Kyle Harrison's going to come up later so he could fill that long lefty spot or something. But I don't see that happening with like Anthony DeSclafani. I don't see it for kind of what you said. Giants might actually think he's still a rotation guy, but also he's got a whole other year left on his deal. And I think it's $13 million. So pretty significant that they're not going to be able to like give him away or anything like that. So that's a good one. All that said, you know, like the bullpen's still very strong, but we're getting into that time of the year, you know, the, you know, dog days and all that stuff where you having basically two starting pitchers, I guess Ross Stripling, maybe we'll save this for Monday. You know, Ross Stripling might be the guy that I said, this is a great signing. I'll never forget. It's like ringing in my ears. That Ross Stripling, good process. I like how they got here. They don't expect too much of him. Great job. And then it just blew up in your face. Like when Bart jiggled the beer can and turned up the heat and it just blew up in Homer's face as the April Fool's Day's prank. That's what Ross Stripling has been, except for now. But anyway, that gives the Giants maybe three starters. And so maybe DeSclafani kind of faltering doesn't quite hurt them. But it's like at this point, they really need a starter because you can't bank on him bouncing back. You really think it's bad enough that they might shut him down. I think that's concerning.
I mean, the bullpen might be more likely as a first step, but if that fails, I mean, they have to consider it. He's not giving them anything on the mound. That's, no. You know, that's not an indictment of his character or anything. It's just how it's happening.
I've liked DeSclafani. Yeah. I think he's been a pretty solid addition, and you'd like to think he could figure it out. All right, let's talk about this Red Sox series that's coming up. When the offseason was going on and the Giants were, you know, going through whatever they were going through, but also adding guys. The Red Sox, I'm glad I'm a Giants fan and not a Red Sox fan, especially because of this offseason, because some sort of like Bain Capital shit's going on there where they're just trying to like purge as much of the Red Sox long-term commitments as they can and try to just like manage by a model instead of talent, kind of like how the Giants are doing. But they took a lot of hits in the offseason, you know, letting Xander Bogaerts walk, not really making any big swings or big offers for some of the top free agents. And yet there they are being a pretty solid team. They have scored the fifth most runs in baseball, 516 runs. They're 55 and 46, I believe, 55 and 47. It's a very competitive division that they're in, so that doesn't like help them all that much. They're just in fourth place, but right now they're ahead of the Yankees in the division. And, you know, they're a 1.5 games out of the wild card. So they're a very good team. I think it's in my mind, this isn't like when they faced off in 2019. Remember when the Giants went there and it was kind of like, how are the Giants taking it to the Red Sox? How far have the Red Sox fallen? Are they that wowed by Mike Yastrzemski? And it turns out they were. And the Giants had a chance to sweep that series, I think. I vaguely remember. But this time, I think we have to think about it more like they're a lot closer to the David Ortiz days when they just come in and knock the Giants around. I think that possibility exists. Their lineup is so good. They have a Japanese player that they signed, Masataka Yoshida. He's really great. He's, you know, had more power than they thought he would have when everyone was talking about him coming over. Rafael Devers was the guy that they did extend. It was between he and Bogaerts. They let Bogaerts walk. They kept Devers. Christian Arroyo, Doug. Old friend alert. Is the starting second baseman somehow still of the Boston Red Sox, despite having a 74 OPS plus. I switched over from weighted runs created plus. I apologize. And then Adam Duvall, also on the team, subject of trade rumors. But I would imagine at this point, given where the Red Sox are, that they're not purging anybody. They're going to probably add and to try to compete. But anything that stood out to you about the Red Sox?
Just a name. One name that has haunted me since 2014, 2015. I can't even remember. And that's Justin Turner. That son of a bitch.
I've Justin Turner apparently
good again.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is bullshit. I don't want Justin Turner to be good. Oh, you know, he was never not good. He was just, he's just a little bit worse than he was in his best years, the Dodgers. He's always just been good. He's just consistently good. It's so annoying.
He's having his best season since 2020. So if you knock, you know, a 123 OPS plus, it's not right. It's not fair. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it one bit. That is the most concerning part of this entire series. They traded Kike Hernandez to the Dodgers. Kike Hernandez has had the last 5 years of his career are a miserable mess. So there's that, but also like, good. I'm glad I don't have to see him again against the Giants right now. Anyway, I'm sure they'll see him when they face the Dodgers, but between Duvall being there and Arroyo, that was enough. And then we've got Justin Turner, who was my guy that I hated more than Muncy for a long time.
Yeah. And I thought it was defensible. I mean, I didn't agree, but like, I understood where you were coming from. It was a real like Voltaire situation. I may disagree with what you say. I will defend it to death. You're right to say it.
So that's something to look out for. They also have Kenley Jansen as their closer. Still, that guy's still pitching. God damn it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to see what happens with Michael Conforto and Jock Peterson facing these guys. I want to see, you know, Michael Conforto, he's got to, again, show us, is he still alive? We don't know. So, you know,
scientists claim he is. We haven't seen the proof. Yes.
Yeah.
We need some evidence here, Michael. That would be great.
So I was kind of going to save this for our next episode, but I think it's worth also just mentioning that this three-game series against the Red Sox leads into a four-game series with the Diamondbacks. But basically starting now, starting today through August is a tempest. It is a crucible. It is absolutely the most painful stretch of the season that the Giants are about to enter. And, you know, the September looks pretty freaking tough too, because they're playing a lot of the division. They're playing mostly the division, and the team that they're not are the Cubs and the Guardians. Two tough teams. And, you know, but this month that's coming up, August, from the Red Sox, then the Diamondbacks, you get the A's, but it's in Oakland. Then you get Shohei Ohtani and the Angels, Rangers, Rays, Braves, Phillies, Braves, Reds, and then you go right into a Padres series. That is brutal. So this is the season, I think, coming up right here.
Yeah, it's going to be an intense stretch, and the Giants need to get it together. Like, the offense just has to get it together, or else the season's going to be lost. No pressure.
Yeah, exactly. We've been skipping this. Let's make, I guess, a bold prediction. Let's just make a random prediction about the series, not about how it's going to go, but something you think is going to happen in it. A good thing. Don't be like Justin Turner is going to get three hits every game. We know that. We don't need to predict that. Just don't. It's something positive that's going to happen for the Giants.
Kenley Jansen will blow a save.
Yes. That's great. Logan Webb is going to pitch seven strong innings, and I have a sub one. I think I'm so amped, Doug. Luciano's going to hit a home run. I don't know how. He's going to do it.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know when. Okay. It's going to happen. It's going to happen this weekend. He was so close. He was so close. Oh, it was so exciting. Anyway. All right. Are you going to write about the Giants at all this week, Doug? Are you still doing that?
Occasionally, yeah. Actually, I have a Substack, if you don't know. It's at giantsdoug.substack.com, where I write about the Giants twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And come check it out. And then my numbers will go up, and I will get a hit of dopamine.
He also did write about Marco. Yeah. Yes, but you wrote about Marco Luciano on Thursday, so you should read about that. I also liked your headline from the other day. The rookies have been playing like shit. So read about that and check out there. I'm on McCoveyChronicles.com. I'm posting multiple times a week, a lot of series recaps. I've lost the whimsy. I got to find the whimsy again. But we're on Fans First Sports Network. Don't forget, check out their website, fansfirstsports.com. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you get a chance, or right there in the Spotify app. We'll be back on Monday with an all-new episode. And until then,
go Giants!